Now that you obviously look pretty relieved and very happy at the end to get that year-end number one ranking, what did it actually feel like on the court when that final point was played?
Well, you described it. It's a great deal of happiness knowing that what I've been through the entire season in order to get to where I am and finish the year as number one. As I said on the court, I owe gratitude to my team, to all the people who were next to me. It's one of the ultimate challenges in this sport, and so I'm very glad to be crowned as number one at the end of the season.
Hi Novak, how important is it to you to finish the number one compared to a Grand Slam win?
Well, it's being number one of the world is a pinnacle of the sport. Winning Grand Slam is also something that allows you to write the history of the sport, and it's difficult to say what is more important. But you know, both of these goals are always my goals in the beginning of the season. So. I'm glad I managed to achieve both, to win a Grand Slam in one season and to be number one.
Novak, congratulations for the year. You still remember your origins as a player, because you always talk of the big tournament, but also when you started to play. I know it's a topic question, but...
Do I remember? Sorry, I didn't
understand. The first tournament you played, who helped you at the beginning?
Well, I was fortunate enough to be surrounded with the people who knew tennis and who had knowledge and passion about the sport in our country, and there were not many of them because tennis was not a national sport. And the lady that passed away, that was a big influence in my life, Jelena Gencic, was one of those people. Nikki Pilic, and of course the biggest support that I had was my family, and they've been with me from the day one, and you know, they believe that I can do it, so they contributed to the success, definitely.
Could you talk about your next matchup against Kay? Of course you beat him kind of easily 2 weeks ago, but do you think this time it's going to be a little bit different match?
Well, it's obvious that he is experiencing the best season of his life, and he's top five of the world, playing some great tennis, and he's one of the quickest players around, and deservedly he's in semifinals and only on his debut. So you know, I expect a tougher match than it was in Paris, that's for sure. But again, the conditions, indoor and outdoor, where I lost to him in US Open, are quite different. I'm feeling pretty confident playing now, and as well as he, so it's going to be a good high-class tennis.
Novak, you're number one in the world at the end of the season, but in fact you were number one at the end of the season in 2011, in 12, and now this year, which make 3 years out of four. How do you react to this achievement, which is more impressive maybe than just being number one 1 year?
Yes, well, it's, you know, as I said, one of the highest and most difficult challenges, you know, is to be number one nowadays, especially because the tennis has become very competitive in the last 5-10 years, very physical. So in order to have a shot at the number one of the world, you need to be consistently healthy and successful throughout the whole year. And because Nadal and Federer are so good for so many years, they always make you win at least one or two Grand Slams if you eventually want to be number one. And of course, with the consistency, because they've been so consistent with their results. So I know how difficult it is, and that's why I'm proud of this achievement.
Novak, I have to confess that I was one of the skeptics that thought that the association with Boris Becker would work, based on his commentary, for instance. But I remember when we sat after you won Estoril, we talked, and you were eager to get a more experienced player on your coaching team, along with Marian. We talked about John McEnroe back then, that he maybe could get on board. So can you talk us how this year went with Boris Becker by your side? Were there any stressful moments? What can you say?
Well, there were moments up and down. I think it is in every relationship between a coach and player. You can't have it all perfect from the beginning to the end. And especially at the start of the season, it took us 3-4 months to really understand each other, how we work and how we approach tennis, how we approach life. It was important to have this chemistry in the relationship privately in order to have the beneficial success on the court, in the practice sessions and in the matches as well. So it started working from Rome. I felt like that's where we really clicked, and Marian, Boris and I sat down and we analyzed what we need to do in order to get this relationship between three of us the most successful possible. So decided that they're going to be present in Rome and Roland Garros, and then that helped obviously my relationship with Boris.
Novak, I just wanted to know, was tennis your first love? There was never another sport where you thought you would be good, and I'll tell you why. It's there are rumors on the Alpine Ski World Cup that coming from a place where you had snow and you were skiing, that sometimes we have this correlation with Kostelic.
I didn't understand really the reference with Kostelic, but I understand the skiing part and tennis. Okay. Well, first of all, I have lots of respect for Kostelic family and for both brother and sister, for what they have achieved. I follow skiing very much because it's top two sports in my life are tennis and skiing. I love skiing. I grew up on the mountain and I used to compete when I was younger, 9-10 years old, just a few times, and I decided to go for tennis. I don't think it was a bad decision, but still I do have big passion for skiing, and my father was a pro, and I come from a family of skiers, so that's why I love it. I love it very much.
Novak, you talked a moment ago about being number one 3 years in a very difficult era with Nadal and Federer. Just wondering if you think, talk about margins in this season, because you had a great season, but really, if you had lost one set in the Wimbledon final, maybe we wouldn't be having this conversation.
If I would win one or two more sets in Roland Garros, maybe we would have this conversation again. So we can always observe it from different angles, but I think that I had a great season and great year overall for my private life and professional as well. And considering all the things that have happened and circumstances, I thought I've done very well. A few matches here and there, I wish I could play it better. Maybe Roland Garros final or US Open semis. But again, I don't want to go back and regret something that has already happened. I believe everything happens for a reason. So I'm here for a reason, and I managed to finish the year as number one for a reason. And I just keep on looking forward. This can only make me stronger, all these experiences that I had. And I thought that the three matches that I played here, also the five in Paris, I felt like I elevated the level of my game even more. And that's something that encourages me for the next season, obviously, to do well.
Novak, one more question about your relationship to Boris Becker, please. Can you be a little more specific? In what way Boris can help you? What he's good at?
Well, I was saying before that the biggest influence that Boris can have on my game is on me in general is the mental part. Obviously the ability, his ability to cope with pressure, understand the challenges, and overcome those challenges in the tough matches, in the big tournaments, is something that he has developed over the years with his experiences being number one of the world, multiple Grand Slam winner. So he understands exactly what I go through mentally in the match, in my preparations for the match, and just approach to the big tournaments. And that's where I feel like his, the biggest part of his contribution came from.
Novak, following up, your everything happens for a reason. How do you explain it that Murray can lose 6-love, 6-1 to Federer when they were 11-all in their duels and head-to-head? And how would you react to that if you were Murray? And how can you explain that Federer won terrible year last year and then he reacted the way he did? So, and did you ever went to any crisis?
It's a lot of question in one question. Well, I have to disappoint you. I don't know what to how to answer on the question of you know what I would how I would react if I was Murray, because I'm not in his shoes and I don't know how he feels or you know what we went through. I know it's one thing is for sure that it's very difficult to kind of keep playing on the highest possible level because of, you know, all the expectations and pressures and so forth for him playing obviously here at home with the crowd support. It's a, you know, it's an additional pressure. Roger on the other hand is playing some of his best tennis, I think, since I know him and since I watch him. He changed the racket last year, I think midway through the season, and okay, a few things didn't go the way they did maybe 8 or 9 years before that, because everybody is, when you say Roger, you always expect him to be top two of the world and win Grand Slams. That didn't happen, you know, last year. Okay, he didn't have such a great year, but you know, this season he's come back again, and you know, we played amazing finals of Wimbledon. He just we fight all the way through till basically the last few days of the season for number one, so that proves of how good he played over the year, you know, over the course of 12 months. He won 5, 6, 7 titles, so I never honestly thought that, I didn't never count him out, you know, even last year that people started you know, talking, because they always talk, you know, it's over, he's too old or something like this, you know. He's still playing great and he's proving that, proving everybody wrong. Sorry? I don't know what you're talking about. I have no crisis.